إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters and elders, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We continue with our series of lectures on the questions that we will have to answer in the qabr and on the day of judgment, on the day of Hashr. And as you know, we have completed the first question of the qabr. And what is that? Who is your Rabb? Man Rabbuk? And as I mentioned, the question is not a question asking for information. It's a question asking about a relationship. The malaika, the angels who will come, they are not saying who is the Rabb of the universe, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. They are saying Man Rabbuk, who is your Rabb? And what is the answer to that? Rabbi Allah, my Rabb is Allah. And as I mentioned, I remind myself and you that only the one who develops a relationship with Allah will be able to say Rabbi Allah, my Rabb is Allah. The one who has no relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though he may know who the Rabb is. Please understand, Islam is the name of a practice. It is not the name of a theology. It is not the name of a philosophy. It is not a name of a bunch of information and a set of books that we may have read. It is about ourselves. It is about our relationship with Allah. So we come today to the second question, which is, what is the second question? Ma deenuk. What is your deen? Once again, they are not saying which is the best religion, which is the religion Allah chose for you. What is your religion? What is your deen? I remind myself and you that the answer to that is deeni Islam. My deen is Islam. My deen is Islam. Therefore, it is very important for us to understand, first of all, what is the meaning of deen. There is a lot of confusion in the minds of people. People think that deen means madhab, deen means religion, deen means praying five times in the masjid or at home, deen means sacrificing on the Eid al-Adha, deen means going to this masjid or that masjid. Deen, the meaning of deen, the Arabic meaning of deen is a way of life. Deen is not only ibadah. Deen is not only a set of beliefs. It is not enough to say, I believe that Allah is one and there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. This is not deen. This is the kalima, this is the doorway through which you enter the deen of Islam. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this very clearly in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu udkhulu fis silmi kaffah. وَلَا تَتَّبِيُوا خُطْوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. The ayah came for who? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. O you who believe. Now you might say, if I already believe, Allah is saying enter into Islam fully. Well, I already believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe. So I already believe. Then what is the question of entering? I'm already in Islam. Then why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying enter into Islam? I already entered into Islam. So we understand obviously that there is a difference between becoming Muslim and entering into Islam completely. If there was no difference, there was no need for this ayah. So there is a difference between becoming Muslim and entering into Islam completely. Entering into Islam completely is to ensure that every aspect of my life is run according to the deen of Allah, according to this methodology and this way of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed for us. And this will happen when we realize that this is for our own benefit. Believe me, Allah, it makes no difference whatsoever to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whether you or I worship Him or not. It makes no difference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whether you have a beard, whether your wife covers her head, whether your daughter covers her head or does not cover the head. Makes absolutely no difference whatsoever to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. It makes a difference to us. If we don't lie, if we don't cheat, if we don't have corruption in society, if we don't get drunk, if we don't beat our wives, if the wives don't beat the husbands, if we have children who are obedient, if we have parents who are affectionate, who is it benefiting? Allah? We will create a society which today we have unfortunately reached a stage that if I talk to you about this society, you will say, you know, this is a utopian image. Nice to talk about, completely impractical, cannot be done, does not exist. Why are we talking about all this pie in the sky nonsense? Let us get real. This is what people will tell you. Why? Because we live in a world which is characterized by oppression, which is characterized by corruption, which is characterized by humiliating people. It is characterized by arrogance. It is characterized by the worship of material. It is characterized by having people, our definition, high net worth individual, HNI. Who is a high net worth individual in our society? Somebody who has a lot of money. Does it matter where he got his money from? No. Does it matter how he got his money? No. As long as he has the money, he's a high net worth individual. You know what Islam did? Islam also has high net worth individuals. Make no mistake, Islam also has high net worth individuals. But you know what the difference is? Islam changed the definition of HNI from Abu Lahab to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. A high net worth individual pre-Islam was Abu Lahab. Lots of money, lots of arrogance. Where the money comes from, I don't care. I have it, I flaunt it, it's mine, I do with it what I want. High net worth individual, Abu Lahab. High net worth individual, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. What is the difference? The difference is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is leaving Makkah and going away. One of the big leaders of one of the big tribes, he stopped him. He said, where are you going? He said, I'm leaving Makkah because I'm sick and tired of people persecuting me. I'm sick and tired of people oppressing me. All I did was I changed my religion from idol worship, and I said, I worship only Allah. And people don't like that. I have not harmed anybody. I have not done anything. But still they're persecuting me. I'm sick and tired of that. I'm going away. This man said, no. Hold on. Wait. How can Abu Bakr leave Makkah? You are a judge. You are one of the elders of the Quraysh. You are a person with so much of social standing. You are a person who is a leader. We look up to you. You leave Makkah and go away? How is this possible? No, sorry, you can't do that. He said, but they don't let me leave. He said, no. I will give you protection. So he took him by the hand. He brought him to the haram in front of the Kaaba. He stood there and he said, I give protection to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and nobody will bother him. Nobody will trouble him. So Abu Jahl and the other elder leaders of Quraysh, they said, fine, we recognize your authority and we recognize your authority to give protection to Abu Bakr, but we have a condition. So the man said, what is your condition? Listen carefully, my brothers and sisters. See the condition they are putting on Abu Bakr. Are they saying Abu Bakr must not talk to people and present Islam? Abu Bakr must not give dawah of Islam? You know what the condition was? They said the condition we put is, he must not pray in any place where people can see him doing salah. Ajib. What is the condition? They said he must pray inside his house. He must not pray in public where people can see him worshipping Allah. So this man also got a bit confused. He said, you know, what kind of a condition is this? What do you mean? How does it matter to you? Let him pray anywhere he wants. They said, no. They said, no. They said, his prayer is a threat. So how is his prayer a threat? They said, the problem is that when our people see him praying, what is he doing? Is he talking to them? He's praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar, he stands. He's reciting Quran. They said, when people see Abu Bakr praying, they become Muslim. Our people are leaving our religion and entering into Islam because they see this man worshipping. This is a threat. So if he wants to remain here, tell him to pray inside his house. So the man asked Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he said, is it okay? He said, okay. He prayed inside his house for 2 days. Third day, he prayed in the courtyard, open courtyard of his house. And sure enough, whole bunch of people gathered. The Quraysh got upset. They called this man. They said, see, your man is going against his promise. He said he will pray inside the house. Now he's praying outside. This man came and he said, look, I cannot help you. I cannot give protection to you. If you break this agreement, if you pray outside, I can't give protection to you. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, the protection of my Rabb is enough for me. I don't need your protection. Salaam alaikum. Why am I telling you this, my brothers and sisters? Because this is the first part of this deen. The first part of this deen is the aqeedah and the ibadah. What is the issue of aqeedah? To worship only Allah. To hold this in our mind that there is no one worthy of worship. There is no one worthy of asking help except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And ibadah is to talk to Allah. I have said this so many times. You must be sick and tired of me saying this again and again. I love saying it. Talk to Allah. Because you worship a living God. You worship somebody in real time. You're not worshipping a concept. You're not worshipping an image. You're worshipping somebody who's alive. Huwa al-hayyul qayyum. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. Homework for you. Go home and read the meaning of Ayatul Kursi. Then ask yourself this question. What is the need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to introduce himself in such detail? What is the need? Allah is Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces himself in such detail because it is not possible to create a relationship with somebody you don't know. How would we know about Allah if Allah didn't tell us himself? The knowledge of our Rabb is not something we can get by experimenting in a physics or chemistry lab. The only way we will know about our Rabb is if He chooses to tell us. And we praise Him and we thank Him that He chose to tell us. This is who we worship. And the question is this: what is your relationship with Him? What is your relationship with Him? There was no difference between the Salah of the Sahaba. There's no difference between the salah of Muhammad or Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself and your and my salah in terms of its external appearance. They also did qiyam, they also did ruku, they also made sajda. The difference is in the internal part of it. The ta'alluq ma'allah, the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they said Allahu Akbar, everything ceased to exist except their connection with their Rabb. Nothing accepted, nothing existed except their connection with their Rabb. This was the salah of the Sahaba. And therefore I remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created this and He sent this deen, the first part of that deen is the belief and the salah. And therefore let us guide our salah. Let us guard our salah. Let us ensure that our salah is at least, I know you and I cannot possibly probably hope to pray at a level which we can say is acceptable. It's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept. And therefore I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take our little efforts and to hide their faults and to accept it. Because the dua I always make, I say, Allah, I can only bring what I have. I know this is not worthy of you. But what can I do? This is all I have. But I bring it. And I will bring it. This is in my power.
I will not miss it. It is faulty, it is weak. It is not worthy of you. But I will bring it. I will pray, inshallah al-musta'an. As long as Allah gives me hayat and as long as Allah gives me tawfiq, I will pray the salah on time, every time. Make this niyah. Ready? Make this niyah, inshallah. Let it be any kind. Your salah has no concentration. Big deal, join the club. Nobody's salah has any concentration. Your salah is weak and your salah is, you know, I'm not sure I'm doing it properly. Join the club. We're all in the same boat. But ensure that you bring that to the majesty of your Rabb. Ensure that you come to the court of the King of Kings with the hadiyah, with the nazarana that is due to that King of the Kings. You do not go empty-handed. Say to Allah, Allah, I can only bring what I have. I have sins. So I bring them to you because only you can forgive them. Where do you want me to take my sins? لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. There is no one who forgives except you. So I bring my sins to you. I have problems. I bring them to you. Why? Because only you can solve problems. Who is there? Is there anybody else who can solve problems? No. So I bring them to you. And say, oh Allah, the problem is a problem for me. Because I am so weak and I have no resources and I have got all the problems. I said, for you? You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You created things which we don't even know what they are or the extent of them. For you, my problem in my house with my family, my illness, my this, my that, is nothing. For you, it's a matter of not even giving an order. Arada shayyan. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides on something, it happens. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just now I ask you to make dua. One of our brothers, Farhan, his brother, his son, has had a terrible accident, motorcycle accident. And he was in ICU on ventilator. Now he is off the ventilator, but he is still in the ICU. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the name of His majesty and grace, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Hayyul Qayyum. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Fatirus Samawati wal Ard. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the giver of life and death. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the name of his Qudrat. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the complete yaqeen that if He wants, He can do it. And we ask Him because we know He can do it. And we ask Him, oh Allah, do it because You can do it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take this boy out of the ICU, to give him complete health, inshallah, and bring him back to his parents, and bring him back to his home, completely and totally free from any problem associated with his accident or otherwise. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give their family sabr, and to help them, and to make this a means of other people seeing the karama of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to completely and totally cure the boy from any and every fault, inshallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give all you parents some good sense. Because wallahi subhanallah, you are completely devoid of sense. Your heads are vacuums. There's not even garbage in it. Because what on earth enables you to buy expensive motorcycles for your children and then allow them to ride them without wearing helmets? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Are you trying to kill your children? Then my suggestion is just shoot him in the head. It's easier. Cheaper also. All it takes is one bullet. What kind of insanity is this? I mean, this is not the first, you know, this is not the first incident. You know how many du'as we made in the same masjid for these kids who had accidents on motorcycles. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. What is, you are possessed. Your parents are crazy. Please make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. love to your kids, man. What kind of stuff is this? Alhamdulillah, we trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that nothing happens without his order. But we also know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us responsibility for ourselves and our children. And if you don't exercise that responsibility, if you set up that kid for an accident, that kid is going to have an accident and you are responsible. Don't do that yourself. Don't create the accident and come here and say, please make dua. We will make dua. But let's make dua for something which is worth making, not because you created some rubbish. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Please, wake up people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this deen, and He gave us this ibadah. And as I told you, so salah is to talk to Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned in the Quran the issue of ibadah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it in a very strange way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Az-Zariyat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah said, I have not created the jinn and the human beings for anything other than to worship me. So obvious question is, if the purpose of my creation is to worship Allah, and if the worship of Allah means salah, then how is it humanly possible to pray 24/7? It's not humanly possible. Which means now that if we follow that line of thought, it means that Allah has given us an instruction which intrinsically is incapable of being completed. And this is against justice. And then we know that Allah is just. We know that Allah is adil. So therefore, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us an instruction, then a safe assumption is to say that this instruction is possible to complete. It is possible to follow. It's possible to fulfill, because this is the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remind myself and you the issue of the purpose of creation. Anything is useful and anything is valued only and only as long as it is fulfilling the purpose of its creation. This mic which I use, where is the other place you see it? In TED Talks. This is state-of-the-art technology. Very expensive. Alhamdulillah, we use it in this masjid. If it goes bad, and one of them went bad, what do you think we'll do? Make a necklace out of it and hang it around my neck to say, well, you know, after all, we spent so much of money. Poor thing, it gave us good service for all these days. We should be loyal to it. What do you do with something, no matter how expensive it was when you bought it, and it no longer fulfills the purpose of its creation? What do you do with it? You throw it away. It's garbage. Call it what you want, it's garbage. So now, what do you do with... When I say you, I don't mean you, but I'm saying, what do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should do or would do with the human being or the jinn who He created for His worship but who does not worship Him? Garbage. If we go and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state where we did not worship Him, then we are garbage. What happens to garbage? You incinerate it. And that's what Jahannam is, incinerator. So Allah gave us an instruction saying, I did not create the jinn and the insan for anything other than to worship me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our anxieties. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the following ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I created you only and only to worship me. But don't worry, I do not seek provision from you. I don't ask you to feed me or feed my creatures. Nor do I ask you to feed me. And then Allah said, Inna Allaha huwa razzaqu dhul quwwati al-matin. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ar-razzaq, is the provider of everything. And He is the owner of power. And He is most strong. What is the first thought in our mind if somebody says, I take responsibility for you? First thought in the mind is, yeah, that's a nice statement, but you know, do you have enough?
I tell my friends, hamari dosti mahangi padti hai. It's not easy. I want to be your, many people come to me. Sheikh, I want to be your student. To date, I have got like 1.5 students who have lasted. Because I told them I am a very bad teacher. Mahangi padegi. Sab bhag jate. Alhamdulillah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Allah is strong, His treasures are unlimited, don't worry, He can feed you. So my problem, my point therefore, my brothers and sisters, is that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for a purpose, and He made this so clear, then how is it possible to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24/7? And that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this whole deen. And He sent a demonstrator to demonstrate how it is possible to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24/7. And what is the name of that demonstrator? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A demonstrator. And that is why even in the actual arkan of Islam, the pillars of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only gave the instruction. He did not show us how to do it. Entering into Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not even tell us how to enter into Islam. If you look at the Quran, you will not find La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah as one statement anywhere in the Quran. He left it to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the wahi ghair matlu, the wahi which is not recited. The instructions about the how to follow the instructions. The instructions about the how are also wahi. So when people came and said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka rasulullah, when they came and made bayah on the hand of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where did this statement come from? Which ayat of the Quran is this? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this and said, how do I enter Islam, Ya Rasulullah? Say such and such. Those who deny the hadith must think about this. How you enter Islam is hadith. It's not Quran. How you enter Islam is hadith. It's not Quran. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what is the second rukun of Islam? After kalima? Salah. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us about salah? Allah said, aqimu salah. Establish salah. Establish salah. So you say, Alhamdulillah, I will establish salah. Ya Allah, what should I do? Go ask the Nabi. Ya Allah, no, I don't want this hadith and so on. I don't want to ask the Nabi. I want to look in your book. Well, look till the day of judgment, you will not be able to pray. Look till the day of judgment, you will not be able to pray. And what do we know about somebody who deliberately leaves salah? What did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Al ahadul ladhi bainana wa bainahum as-salah. Wa man aradaha faqad kafara. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. He said the difference between the Muslim and the non-Muslim is the salah. The one who deliberately leaves salah has left Islam. Faqad kafara, he has committed kufr. Such an important thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Aqimu salah, how do I pray? Allah does not tell us. He said, go ask the Nabi. And what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? Sallu kama ra'aytumuni yusalli. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa sallam. He said, pray as you have seen me pray. Methodology of salah is taught by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Atu zakat, give zakat. You say, yes, I am ready, I will give zakat. How much should I give? Your 2.5%, is it in the Quran? The difference in on agricultural produce, 10%, is it in the Quran? That there is zakat on gold, but there is no zakat on diamonds and emeralds and rubies and so forth, is it in the Quran? That zakat is on gold and silver and not on the stones, even though the stone, the value of the stone may be much more than the value of that gold in that ring or whatever. Is this in the Quran? What is the zakat on goods that I have which are for sale? What is the zakat on property, on land? What is the zakat? I have stocks and shares which have a certain value. Is there zakat on it or not? If so, what is zakat? Where is all this? Go look in the book of the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, establish, give zakat. How? How much? Ask the Nabi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, fast in Ramadan. How to fast? Suhoor, iftar. What invalidates the fast? You might say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, mentioned from the time you can see the white thread to the black thread and so on, so I know enough. You don't know enough, because what invalidates the fast? Supposing I'm fasting and I forgot, and I eat a lot of food. Is my fast valid or invalid? Who told you that? Where is it in the Quran? A man came to Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And he said to Abu Hurairah, you know, I was fasting and I went somewhere and somebody offered me some food. I was hungry, so I ate. I forgot about the fast. And then I remembered. So is my fast valid or not? Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, no problem, your fast is valid. He said, no, it doesn't end there. So he said, what happened? He said, no, from there I went somewhere else and somebody offered me some more food and I was hungry, so I ate some more. And I forgot about the fast. Is my fast valid? Abu Hurairah said, no problem, your fast is valid. He said, no, it doesn't end with that. He said, now what did you do? He said, no, I went somewhere else and someone offered me some more food. And I ate that also and I forgot I was fasting. Is my fast valid? Abu Hurairah laughed and he said, obviously you are not used to fasting. See also the akhlaq of the Sahaba. See the akhlaq. He didn't say you are going to burn in hell for this. Did he say that? He laughed at him. He said, nah, it doesn't matter, leave it. It's okay. You're not used to fasting. Fasting, how do I fast? The rules of fasting, asked the Nabi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, make hajj to Baytullah. Man istata'a ilayhi sabila. If you have the means to do it, make hajj to Baytullah. What is the Quran? Baytullah, yes? Where is hajj? In the Kaaba? So I say, no, hold on. Allah said Baytullah. Baytullah is Kaaba. So I will go. And which is the best time I decide to go? Last 10 days of Ramadan. Best time, because these are the best days of the year. I will go in the last 10 days of Ramadan and I will sit in front of the Kaaba and I will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the time I'll go to sleep there, wake up and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My hajj is complete. Is hajj valid? Or I say, okay, I go in Dhul Hijj, everybody is going, so I go with them. But these people, they will go to Mina, then they go to Arafat. Where is Arafat? Where is Mina? Where is nothing? All this is, why should I wear an ihram? Who said ihram? What ihram? I am wearing comfortable clothes. I am wearing clothes which are shara'i. They are in the sharia. I am covering my head with a turban. I am not even going with my head bare, because, you know, I respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am going to go and sit in front of the Kaaba and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My hajj is complete. Is the hajj complete? And I show you that Allah said, Hajj to Baytullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who did not stand in Arafah, for him there is no Hajj. About other things, people came to him during the Hajj. They said, Ya Rasulullah, I could wait in Wukuf in Mina, I could do it. I could not do it. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no problem. Somebody said, I did this thing before that thing. He said, no problem. He said, I did not pick up the stones in Muzdalifah. He said, no problem. For everything, he said, no problem. He made it as easy as possible. Do whatever you want, as long as you stay in Arafah. With Arafah, he said, if you don't stand in Arafah, there is no Hajj. What must I do? Come back next year. Can I do it the next day? Why not do it? I'm already there. No. Time is over. Khalas. Next year. What is all of this telling us? All of this is telling us that the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the tafsir of the ayah. Is not only the tafsir, is the answer to the question in this ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. If you ask, how must I do this? Look at the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Walk like him, talk like him, look like him, be like him, wake up like him. When you wake up, what do you do? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Little boy, he must have been, wallah alam, maybe 8 years old, 9 years old when he narrated this. He said, and see the attitude of the Sahaba. Ibn Abbas said, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waking up for Qiyamul Layl. When he's saying, I saw, what does it mean? What was he doing?
He was awake.
He did not say, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam woke me up. No, he said, I saw him waking up. And he said he sat up and he lifted his index finger to the heavens and he recited the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كلنا آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. Sa'd bin Mu'adh would always say, Ameen, when he finished the recitation, radiallahu anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so what does Ibn Abbas say? Abdullah ibn Abbas, little boy, he said he sat up, he pointed a finger at the sky, at the heavens, and he recited his last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. He said, while he did that, I ran to get water for his wudu. He said, I brought the water, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made wudu, and then he placed his blessed hand on my chest and he made dua for me. And he said, oh Allah, give this boy the ta'wil of the Quran. Give this boy the understanding of the Quran. The first mufassir of the Quran, the mufassir of this ummah is who? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Wake up like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you go to sleep, Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never slept until he had recited Surah Al-Sajdah and Surah Al-Mulk. And then all the other du'as and all the other things, all of which will take you not more than 10 minutes. You don't have 10 minutes for yourself every day. What kind of impoverished life are you leading? But you do not even have 10 minutes for yourself. For yourself! Wake up like him, sleep like him, walk like him, talk like him, treat your families like he used to treat his families. We will come to the akhlaq inshallah in the next Jummah. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best among you is the one who treats his family the best, who treats his wife the best. And I treat my wife the best. Today we live in a world where we think our wives are unpaid servants. You get married because you need a free cook. You get married because you need a free mate. Huh? You get married because people actually come and say, oh, I have to fulfill my shahwat. Say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. Seriously, ask yourself this question. What kind of marriage is that? Where your wife is a cook. It is cheaper and much more sensible to actually hire a cook. Because that cook you can throw out. That cook you have to pay a salary and that's the end of the story. You don't have to marry the cook. Huh? And if you have a wife and if you are treating her like a cook, then there's something seriously wrong with your deen. You will answer to Allah. Remember, my brothers and sisters, fear the dua of a righteous woman. Fear the dua of a righteous woman. Because if she lifts her hands against you, that dua will go straight to Allah. Nobody can stop it. And you will be destroyed. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish you with a punishment like he didn't punish anybody else. Fear the dua of a righteous man. Fear the dua of a righteous woman. Have a relationship where if you need something, you call your wife and say, please make dua for me. This is what I need. I am in this difficulty. Phone and say, make dua for me. And know that if she lifts her hands, her Rabb will listen to her. And he will give her the Because she is asking. Make tawbah. Make tawbah now. Change your ways before Malakul Maut comes for you. You know why the whole world has a problem with rights of Muslim women? Because we do not give Muslim women their rights. Islam gave them the rights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them their rights. We Muslim men, we do not give them their rights. And that is why the world laughs at us. And they say, there are no women's rights in Islam. There are women's rights in Islam for which every Muslim man who is not giving it will be caught by the throat on the day of judgment and he will answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make no mistake. Fear Allah. Fear the anger of Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like injustice. And injustice is not only done by the king. Injustice is done by you in your home. If you as the husband do not give the woman her rights, if you as the wife do not give your husband the rights, fear the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world and on the day of judgment. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to His deen and to fill your hearts with noor, to give quwwat in your dua, to accept your duas, to forgive all your faults. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cover you with His mercy. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that none of us deserve it, but He gave us everything we have today, even though we didn't deserve it. I make this dua for myself, I make it for you. Oh Allah, you gave me izzah, I don't deserve it. You gave me wealth, I don't deserve it. You gave me position in society, I don't deserve it. You gave me knowledge, I don't deserve it. On the day of judgment, I will not deserve your forgiveness, but forgive me anyway, because this is your sunnah. I will not deserve your rahmah, but cover me with your rahmah, because this is becoming of you. This is becoming of you. This is your sunnah. In this life, you gave me everything I did not deserve. On the day of judgment, also give me everything I do not deserve, and I make this dua for you. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.